Good morning, all. I should say, good morning, my fellow saints. Who thinks, for example, that he's not a saint? Anybody, hands up, anybody thinks they're not a saint? Oh, very good. No, oh, that's the end of my homily then. Okay. Well, obviously, you know, if you think of all the good things that we do and the bad things you avoid, as mentioned in that lovely anonymous letter we had last week, and add to that, that we come here every single week to confess our sins, we acknowledge that we are sinners, but also to seek forgiveness and with God's grace to do our best. Fair enough, you know, one big thing that the letter said that we were missing was making disciples, you know, keeping Jesus to ourselves instead of taking him out there. But we're working on that. St. Paul often addressed the early Christians as saints, so I thought we'd have a little closer look at what makes a saint. At Bible Share on Thursday, we began the book of Tobit. Now, of all the people who ever walked this earth and worshipped God with his life, doing everything that the law required, Tobit was up there with the very best. Even having been deported to Assyria and working in the king's household, you know, close to the seat of power, if you like, surrounded by pagan idols and culture, he continued to honor God unreservedly. And this put him in great danger. Although it was forbidden, he began to go out secretly at night in order to bury Jews that had been killed by Sennacherib the king, rather than leave them to be scavenged over by wild animals. And even his fellow Jews mocked him for taking the risk for doing it, saying, you know, you must have a death wish or something. But for him, duty to God came first. And Tobit's story reminded me of Sir David Amis, who also served in public life as a brilliant MP, everybody says, but he never bowed to the will of the majority on, for example, right to life matters, for which he was greatly respected. He remained true to the gospel of life, but as you know, he was tragically murdered by someone who thinks it's okay to kill innocent people in God's name. Like Tobit, Sir David was a saint, fully engaged as a citizen of the world, but always aware that as our time here on this earth is a mere pinprick when viewed in the light of eternity, it's a good idea to keep our main focus on God. As St. Thomas More said on the scaffold, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. Being holy, I think, is not so much about making great resolutions, which human weakness will probably blow apart anyway, but having the knack of being at ease with God, trusting in his love, trying with his help to live up to those ideals that Jesus sets out in the Beatitudes. We think of saints as superstars, you know, exempt from ordinary faults and failings, but they're not. If you read the lives of some of them, you soon see that bad character faults were not always overcome. They've had them all through their lives, nor did their passion for what they were doing for God allow them to suffer fools gladly. Not very Christ-like, you might think. Yet through the grace of God, they and their gifts were used fruitfully in the service of the gospel. So in other words, they were just ordinary people like us, trying their best to reply to the love of the Father that he lavishes on his children in spite of their sins. And in the Apocalypse, the image of a vast multitude shows that sainthood is not just for the chosen few, but it's open to all, even little old you and me. St. John Vianney, you know, once said to his parishioners at Mass, we should arrive at the gates all together in procession with the parish priest at the front. So I thought that's pretty good. I'm not sure whether I'd be at the front, but there we are. Okay. The Beatitudes in our Lord's Sermon on the Mount are the first proclamation of the good news. Although it doesn't feel like that when you first read it, and you read things like, blessed are those persecuted in the cause of right, or when people abuse you and speak all those kinds of calumny against you on my account. But they are good news, because they make very clear the approach to life that God wants us to aspire to. They give us hope of what can be. If we manage even some of them, it shows that God's blessing is working in us. So as well as honouring the saints who are already in heaven, this Feast of All Saints is also the celebration of what we are in the process of becoming. It's the Feast of Possible Saints, i.e. you and me. When St. John wrote the Apocalypse for the early Christians, he made it very clear, and if you remember there's a great persecution going on at the time, he made it very clear that in this world there is a conflict between the kingdom of God and Satan. And in order to win it, they had to be holy in the way that Jesus was holy, centered on God, not on the world. And as with Tobit, this meant great danger for them. And as we saw with the Jews who mocked Tobit, his own people, they would be rejected by the world. And that would reject in martyrdom for many of them under the Roman persecution. But they did it. And so can we, if we allow the Holy Spirit to keep us focused on the kingdom. If we do all we can to stay true to the gospel of life, in spite of disappointments, the betrayal of friends sometimes, suffering for doing what we know is the right thing to do, missing out on promotion at work maybe because of our principles, etc., etc., we can take great consolation from our Lord's last words in today's gospel: rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.